Hello, everybody. This is Scott Yates, Director of Communications and Producer Relations for the Washington Grain Commission, here with episode 194 of Wheat All About It, or what I'm calling Special Delivery, continuing the Nishan Crop Quality Survey during COVID. Two. If you haven't already, please listen to the first part of this installment, episode 193, to learn more about the Nishan Crop Quality Survey and how the Washington Grain Commission turned a lemon into lemonade. The organization is also working on other fronts as it develops innovative approaches to serve our customers during the pandemic. For instance, WGC Vice President Mary Palmer Sullivan and Program Director Joe Bippert are bringing a little bit of Hollywood to Eastern Washington farm country, filming brief videos of farmers talking directly to customers for inclusion during presentations at various virtual wheat forums now being held by U.S. Wheat Associates around the world. In this episode, our virtual tour heads south of Spokane to talk with Kyle Renton at Pacific Northwest Farmers Co-op in Colfax, John Heaton at State Line Processors in Teco, and Derek Schneidmiller at CHS Rockford. Given that this is a virtual tour, I'm not ordering the speakers in terms of locations heading south. Instead, I'm going straight to the guy who says the 2020 wheat harvest is not just good, but unbelievably good. An excellent harvest doesn't just happen when the combines roll into the field. It's a process which, for winter wheat, begins with planting in the fall. Although farmers fought a wet harvest in 2019, it did create excellent conditions into which to plant the 2020 crop. Kyle Renton, who serves as agronomist and seedsman at Pacific Northwest Farmers, provides an overview of what many farmers are calling the best crop they've cut in their lifetime.
We had a relatively late harvest last year, and we had a lot of September rain. I think we averaged 2 to 3 inches of rainfall last September throughout the Palouse. It made the last half of harvest a challenge for growers. However, it really set us up for excellent fall conditions for planting this year's crop. A lot of years we don't get our first rainfall till November, so we're dusting the seed in, waiting for a rainfall to get it germinated. Last year, farmers were seeding the crop probably the start date, Scott, was the 20th of September, and most farmers were finished planting by the end of October. Wheat was out of the ground in 10 days. So ideal seed conditions last fall, followed by a relatively drier but mild winter. We picked up significant snowfall the first part of December. So the crop had really good snow protection till the middle of January. Mid-January, we had a really good warm-up. The snow left, but the wheat actually grew under the snow because we didn't have frost in the ground. The snow left mid-January. You know, we had a real dry spring. A lot of farmers were really worried about drought. Like our creeks and tile lines were drying up by mid-April. But the winter wheat crop looked really good. We got the crop sprayed in a real timely manner. Smaller stage growth, so we didn't see the herbicide injury in the winter wheat crop like we do a lot of years with, say, an Osprey or a PowerFlex. The winter wheat crop was looking really good in the month of April. We got the spring wheat crop in early. It was rowed up. Actually, pretty much caught the stage of the winter wheat crop. And then May started on the Palouse, and since the 1st of May, you know, I think we picked up 3 to 4 inches in the month of May of moisture. Pretty much eliminated our drought. June continued. I think we picked up another 3 to 4 inches in the month of June. Even July, you know, we picked up inch and a half that first half of July. And we stayed really cool. We track our growing degree days. We were, by mid-June, we were almost 200 growing degree days behind normal. So so the crop, we thought it was going to be a really early harvest because we had big wheat coming out of winter. We got the spring wheat crop in early, but with the rest of the summer cooling down, we're actually started harvest probably 10 days behind normal. I've been here for 27 years doing the agronomy for PNW, plus the managing the seed side of the company. This is I talk to a lot of farmers. It's funny. I thought we had this big crop before harvest started. Of course, a lot of farmers are pessimistic. They don't want to think they have a good crop till they get the combine in it, but. Well, I think any farmer I've talked to this year, you know, a lot of these guys have been farming for close to 50 years. Everyone's told me this is the best crop they've ever cut in their lifetime. Yields are exceptional. We're 20-30% above average on the winter wheat. What spring wheat's been cut so far, you know, I would say we're 40-50% above average on the spring wheat.
Did you put in any club wheat this year, either winter or spring?
We did. You know, we typically sell probably 5% of our winter wheat acres go to club traditionally. We have a lot of growers. They raise some every year. Last fall, however, that was the smallest amount of winter club wheat seed that we'd ever sold. I think, you know, we'd gone for 3 years now without a club premium. And the club around here typically yields a little less. And so I think a lot of farmers just finally gave up on it. This spring, however, with you know, the $1.50 club premium price, we were sold out of spring club wheat seed by the end of November. I think if the premium would have came a little earlier last fall when growers were making their planting decisions, a lot of growers would have took advantage of that. But since the premium didn't show up till after fall seeding, then farmers really took advantage of that on the spring side.
Have you gotten any reports on samples yet?
Yes. We actually have our own testing program as well. We harvested those trials, just finished the last one 2 days ago, Scott. We run falling numbers, qualities, protein. If anything's maybe a little too low, we've been in the you know, low eights to mid nines. On the commercial grain coming in, we're seeing the winter wheat be in that range. However, the spring wheat is we're trying to IP the spring wheat because it is higher protein. Test weights are running 61 to 64 pound on both the spring and the winter wheat. Our falling numbers, we really haven't seen anything come in under 300. Most everything's been in that 330 to 360 range.
So what about conditions going into fall planting this season?
Oh, you know, our sub-moisture is really good. I've seen some soil sand. You know, we've gotten some dry peas harvested, so growers are having their chemical or their fertilizer companies going out pulling soil samples. Our sub-moisture looks extremely good, you know, that third, fourth foot. The top 2 feet's dried out, though, so we're going to need some, you know, some September rain to, you know, to get the fall wheat germinated.
As a person who came into agriculture from the outside more than 30 years ago, I used to think only of rain as something that spoiled a nice day. But since my initiation into wheat farming, I've become fascinated by precipitation, especially that which falls in the spring. None of the individuals I talked with for this episode specifically referred to May and June precipitation as million-dollar rains, but take it from me, they were. With the price of wheat stuck below $5 per bushel to the farmers, having more bushels to sell is almost the same as having a higher price because it means more money to pay bills and maybe even save a little. Next up is John Heaton, a person I consider the last of a breed. Heaton's family owns State Line Processors, a private elevator company located in Tico. Heaton hasn't sold out, merged, or succumbed to the large operations which surround him. He has a cadre of loyal farmers who have done business with the family for years, and he farms himself. In other words, Heaton knows what he's talking about and doesn't care who listens. He began with a recitation of crop conditions from planting to harvest in his region.
Starting from last fall, it was kind of a rough one. We had, you know, quite a lot of moisture in October and September, and things went in a little later last year than normal, but got everything in, and actually winter was pretty mild, got lots of moisture in May and June, so didn't get a lot of heat, and things didn't get stressed too good. So we're looking at awfully good quality and yields at the moment. So we're pretty tickled about that, and haven't seen any problems with falling numbers, and protein seems to be fine from what I'm hearing, and we're just trying to get it all in the bin now.
And so how is harvest looking now? I mean, in terms of the samples that you've seen?
I haven't done a protein test yet. I've just talked to old fellas down at Pomeroy Grain, where we've been shipping most of it. They've been saying the protein has been, you know, good and low, but I haven't actually, to be honest, I have not seen any protein numbers. We have run some falling numbers, and they've been in the, you know, in the upper 300s, kind of like no issues there so far. But the test weight's been good. We've been seeing 62-pound wheat. We've been seeing good results that way.
What about spring crops, John? Do you have any spring wheat crops out there?
Yeah, we do. There are a lot of spring wheat this year. Legumes are kind of down in the dumps a little bit, so a lot of guys switch to spring wheat. So there's quite a bit more spring wheat. Probably more than last year. Last year there was more spring wheat raised, and I would say there was probably more spring wheat raised again this year, and it looks excellent. I mean, it really benefited from the weather. I mean, we had almost zero stress involved in the spring crops whatsoever. It got blessed by Mother Nature with rain, and of course, nobody's really cut any spring wheat around here. Kind of now getting ready, and guys are still cutting fall wheat. But to look at it, I think we're going to see some phenomenal spring wheat yields too.
Now, did you have any spring club wheat planted?
We did. Actually, I just had a farmer bring some in, but he just got in, he cut on it yesterday, and he basically got done yesterday. Just talking to him, he was awfully tickled with how it did. But he was hoping for 80 bushel spring wheat on the club.
Wonderful, wonderful. Did you have much spring club out there?
No, I didn't. In fact, and I didn't put the seed out. He's a local customer. I didn't put the seed out myself. I did not put out any club wheat this spring. And just looking around, it's kind of few and far between around here. There's a field here, a field there. Not much club wheat, but you know, from what I've seen of it, it looks awfully good. But it's kind of almost a rounding error in our neck of the woods. Just not much of it raised around here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how are conditions for seeding this fall?
Well, I would say at this point, I mean, looking favorable. I mean, we've got kind of a good start here. I would say, you know, we don't want the rain yet, but there's still, you know, moisture out there. I think we'll be fine going into fall. You just, of course, you never know how Mother Nature's gonna treat us. But I would say looking ahead to this fall, it looks like our harvest is gonna wrap up earlier than last year. We'll have, you know, a lot more time to deal with getting things in, and I would say average to kind of normal. I don't see anything, you know, too far out of whack as far as how things are, you know, normally go down. Last year, like I said, it was kind of a real outlier for being wet and late. But
well, tell me about your harvest conditions this year.
And harvest conditions thus far have been excellent. You know, I mean, we've gotten just a few passing, you wouldn't even, well, I guess you'd call them thunder showers, but I mean, just hundreds. Oh, one morning we got a hundredth one morning we got a couple hundreds here ago, but no, at this point, no weather issues whatsoever. It's been awfully good. I mean, it's been really about as favorable and what you would want. So we're lucky that way.
Mm-hmm. What about varieties, John? Are your varieties changing more rapidly now?
Well, yes. I mean, it is kind of always a moving target. Like, what do we see this fall that people are going to want next year? That's always the million-dollar question. My big three varieties are Bruno, Resilience, and Oregon 102. And I think that's, at this point, that's kind of what I'm anticipating will be my big three. This was, of course, kind of a wet year, and it was a good year for grasses, competing, and a lot of Italian rye and wild oats and everything else. And so I've maybe had a little bit more interest in guys wanting to put in Resilience, the two gene Clearfield wheat. And so I don't know, maybe some of my Bruno acres will shift to Resilience.
Anything else, John, that you can add here about the crop?
No, other than if we can just get the darn stuff in the bin. And what I'm worried about right now is where it's all going to go. We're of course, my worries right now are the river filling up, and then, where am I going to put it? But there is a lot of wheat left out there to cut, and I'm just wondering where it's all going to go, because I've been cut off at Columbia Grain for a little bit. They've been having trouble getting barges, and they're dang near full. And kind of like the McCoy pile, I think they're down to one pile worth left of space. And it goes quickly, and everybody with these big machines and everything, it a lot of wheat out there. And I don't know where it's all going to fit, but I guess we'll worry about that as we go along.
Another term I didn't hear during my interviews was bin buster. That's a harvest which is so bountiful, it's difficult to find places to store the grain. Now, I don't entirely believe there's no place to put this year's wheat, but the term bin buster is so descriptive that I think it's worth using, at least in the case of state line processors and Pacific Northwest farmers. CHS Rockford, meanwhile, is having a good, but not a great harvest. Derek Schneidmiller describes cropping conditions from planting to harvest around Rockford.
So going back to last fall, we had really pretty adequate moisture as far as when the seed went in the ground, and then even to follow up after everything was planted, we received pretty good moisture. Over the winter, our snowfall was fairly average, but we did have cold snaps without some of the crop being covered, which I think set it back a little bit. Even going into early spring, we had some colder stretches that I think slowed the development of the crop a little bit. Springtime was, snow was off the ground fairly early, probably one of the earlier springs that we've had here in a while, as far as being able to get out and do field work. But again, it kind of stayed cooler at the same time, but we received pretty good moisture. It was really kind of spread out. Didn't delay planting too much, but again, once it was in the ground, we seemed to receive pretty timely rains throughout the rest of the growing season through spring.
Okay. What kind of harvest are we looking at now? I mean, I've heard some really good reports. What about in your particular area?
I think we're going to have a good harvest. It's been a little bit of a later start for us, and I think that's because we did stay cooler for longer than normal. We had some 90, high 90s and real close to 100 degree days here in the month of July that did help get the crop to start to turn. But it's really kind of some of the green is really hung on a lot longer than what we typically have seen. As far as the size of the crop goes, I think we're going to be average to a little bit above average in places. You know, I think that we had some of those periods throughout the winter that I spoke about set the crop back a little bit more than maybe what we realized at the time. You know, south of us, I'm hearing that as far as yields go, it could be the biggest harvest that they've ever had. For our area up here, in Spokane County around Rockford, I don't think we're going to see anything like that. But as far as quality goes, from what we've seen so far, like I said, a little bit of a late start, so we're not as far along at this point as we usually are, to really see enough samples come back. But so far, everything has really been good quality. No low falling number issues, good test weight. Protein has been running around 9 to 10.5% so far.
Now, what about the spring crops, Derek? I'm hearing really good reports about the spring crops too. Do you have much spring wheat planted down there?
There is a fair amount of spring wheat planted. And I think that the spring crops are probably going to, as a whole, probably be even better than our winter wheat. The spring crops look really good. We've even had, you know, it's been a little bit of a weird year. We've had more spring crop delivered at this point than typically what we see. Even some of the canola and malting barley that's raised around this area has been gone out and been cut before some of the winter wheat even.
What about conditions for fall planting?
From what I've been hearing, you know, as of right now, I mean, there's still a fair amount of moisture in the ground. I think we're going to need to see, once we get through harvest, some additional moisture to really give us the conditions that we'd like to see going back into fall planting. But, you know, as of right now, things are looking pretty good again for this upcoming planting season.
What are we looking at this year in terms of harvest conditions?
So far, no issues. You know, here the last few days, there's been some thunderstorms that have rolled through in the evening, early morning. But they've been, you know, really pretty spotty. And so we haven't had any moisture during harvest that's slowed the progress or even enough to give us any concerns right now for any quality issues.
The wheat crop may still not be completely in the bin, but news from the 2020 Eastern Washington harvest is very heartening as this podcast is produced. I hope you've enjoyed this presentation of the 2020 Nishin Crop Quality Survey That Wasn't. Here's hoping that next August I will again be able to meet in person with the cadre of young Japanese professionals sent here to learn where the soft white wheat used in so many Japanese products is grown. That's all for episode 194 entitled Special Delivery, Continuing the Nishin Crop Quality Survey During COVID. 2. Please join me here again next week for another episode of Wheat All About It.
We love the land, the farm's our career, but make no mistake, we do not steer. Mother Nature's in the driver's seat. I'm talking life and I'm talking wheat. We're riding shotgun, we have our say, but Mrs. N, she knows the way. We feed you